not like that music. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Good morning. We've got Jill from Marana, Harriet from Tucson, and Clay Jansen of Focus Insurance from right here in the Maricopa County area. We're going to take Jill real quick because she's been on hold for a while. Then we're going to start a conversation with Clay about homeowners insurance. Might be a topic of extreme concern here after this past week. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call here.
Well, you're welcome. Calling from Marana. How are you doing this morning?
Just great. A beautiful morning.
Now, in Marana, you can be listening to us on a couple of different stations. Which station are you listening to us on?
790.
790. All right. KNST out of Tucson. Very good.
Right.
All right.
Okay, my question. We recently purchased a wonderful little cabin outside of Flagstaff. Yay. Couple little questions here. Thinking about putting a deck on, I'd like your opinion on synthetic materials versus Douglas fir. And then also, we'd like to do log cabin siding on it. And I've heard a lot of the wood that's milled for this is from the Northwest, like Washington, Oregon. How, they say it's kiln dried, but is there any problem bringing that from there up to high altitude? Dry with warping?
Go ahead.
My last quick little question is, we're having condensation between some of the double pane windows. And again, somebody told me this is because windows are brought up from low altitude and then they lose their seal when they go up to high altitude. Just your opinion on that, please.
Well, congratulations on the opportunity to pick up a little cool country getaway. Sounds awfully nice. On the decking, I can tell you, I wouldn't even consider putting a deck in that wasn't synthetic. Okay. I've been active in the Munns Park, Kachina Village, Flagstaff, Heber, Overgard, Sholo area. And I'll tell you, the decks that we put down in natural wood need so much maintenance on them. So there's no doubt or question in my mind. Above the rim, do a synthetic deck. It does have limitations below the rim where the material can get hot and it stresses and it warps and it bends, it gets soft. But up there, Jill, absolutely do a synthetic deck. It's going to cost you anywhere between 50% more to 100% more.
Really?
Depending on which synthetic she picks over just a number two Doug fir. Now, you got number two Doug fir, and then you got redwood, and then you got all heart redwood, and then you've got cedar, and then you've got the composites. And then in the composites, you've got just the standard off-the-rack composite, or you can get the one that's rolled grained with wood grain in it called Winchester that actually is already pre-stained to make it look like a cedar board. So depending on which synthetic you pick, if you want a brand name recommendation, I can tell you that me and most of the Rosie certified remodeling contractors that operate above the rim like a particular product called Trex, T-R-E-X. I've actually been to their manufacturing plant in Olive Branch, Mississippi. They're a pretty incredible operation. That's the answer on decks. That's not all the answer on decks. What you want to do is I would tell you that the new deck systems go in. Generally, what we'll do is we'll go in with Doug fir number 2x10s or 2x12s, and that serves as the floor joist for the synthetic material, and then the synthetic material attaches to that. Now they've got complete maintenance-free decking systems where not even the floor joists are wood, but they're in a metal system. So consider that. I can't believe the number of people that build cabins with high maintenance stuff. And when they go to their cabin, they've got a beautiful place to hang a hammock. They've got a beautiful collection of books to read. And all they do the whole time they're there is maintain their cabin. It's insane. So that's the answer on deck, Jill. Answer on, what was her next question?
Well, you already answered it. Why put on something that you're just going to have to go, you're going up there to enjoy your time.
I don't think we're going to talk her out of it, though.
To maintain wood that's split, that's cracked, that's, and I know that a lot of them come treated for insects, but You know, I've never seen an insect eat through a block.
I'm guessing it's probably a T111 that she's probably going to do an engineered log siding over the top. Properly waterproof that T111. Make sure the side engineered siding is sealed on all sides, the back side, both the ends. Put it in place. That'll be about as low maintenance as you can expect it to be. And then the seals in the windows isn't going to be anything you can fix. You can actually just replace the glass pane. You don't have to replace the whole window. Jennifer, go ahead and take her number. We're going to give her Jeff Edwards' phone number, our registered contractor up in Flagstaff, so she can continue asking Jeff all the particular local suppliers that he would recommend to Jill up there.
And the same company that makes Hardiebacker actually makes what she's looking for in a...
Engineered platform, a lot more stable.
Go that way. Don't spend all that money to bring some. If you're gonna bring something in from the Northwest, put it on the inside. Don't leave it exposed to the outside.
Or at the very least, leave it outside exposed in Arizona for 4 to 6 months and let it acclimate. Hey, on the Arizona staycation, I'd like to just congratulate Steven from Scottsdale. He's grabbing one of the new Sanderson Lincoln MKXs and running up to the cool country and courtesy of Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house. And we'd also like to congratulate a new partner, Lazy Trout Cabin Rentals up in Greer. You can get up there and they've got just a ton of different cabins you can pick from. They've also got the market that has all of the propane tanks, a fishing license, the sporting goods, and over 500 movies and nightly rental. They recommend a couple great restaurants in the area, Molly Butler Lodge and the Rendezvous Diner. And when Stefan picks up his MKX, it's going to include a complete gift basket from the Cactus Candy Company. So again, you can only win that at rosieonthehouse.com. Before we go to Harriet in Tucson, I'd like to introduce our guest for the half hour that's now down to 20 minutes. Sorry, Clay, but appreciate you coming in on Saturday morning.
My
Clay
pleasure.
Jansen of Focus Insurance. First thing I want to do, I want to talk in particular about this 1,000-year rain event that Arizona experienced in last week.
Yep.
I've never have understood, maybe you heard me talking about it last hour, how can the meteorologist say it's a 1,000-year rain event, and then you look in the rain charts and it happened in 1939?
It's a rounding error. They're just rounding. When you're talking millennia, what's 1,000 years, give or take, right?
Well, give or take. Flood insurance. Boy, there's a lot of people that are asking, why didn't I get this?
Yep, we get a lot of calls on that. Funny thing with flood insurance, you have a 30-day wait before it actually goes in effect when you buy it. So you can't buy it when that storm's coming.
Oh, that's the funny part about it?
Oh, yeah. That's maybe not so funny. That's not so funny.
That's the funny part about insurance.
Yeah, gotta buy it in advance,
yeah,
right?
All right.
So I thought I'd bring along the definition of flood insurance.
According to everybody.
According to FEMA.
They should know.
The folks that sponsor the program, which you can find, by the way, great resources on www.floodsmart.gov. So if you have questions about flood insurance, it's right there. A flood is a general and temporary condition of partial or complete inundation of two or more acres of normally dry land or two or more properties, at least one of which is your property. So people that just have one house in the neighborhood, they're at the bottom of the cul-de-sac, they're getting inundated with water, none of the other neighbors get water, that is not a flood.
So if I'm that house at the end of the cul-de-sac and I experience surface water entering the house and it doesn't enter and it doesn't qualify as flood insurance, then my homeowner's insurance will cover it, right?
Not always. That's the problem. Yeah. So the flood insurance covers, really, if you think about it, water coming in from outside, right? Surface water. When your homeowner's takes over, it's water from inside, a pipe breaking, a leaky roof, something like that. So it is really kind of the magic of the two of them working together.
What do you do if you're the guy at the end of the cul-de-sac that gets hit with water, doesn't meet the definition of flood, and your homeowner's policy doesn't pick it up? Is there any gap coverage that you can pick up?
There is not. You better get on rosieonthehouse.com and find a certified, licensed, bonded contractor to help you out, probably with that one.
Don't buy that cul-de-sac, which is an indication. There are maps.
Great resource, like I just mentioned, floodsmart.gov, www.floodsmart. I just jumped online. We do this every once in a while for clients. Jump online. Find out what flood zone you're in. Find out where you're graded. Anywhere right here in the central Phoenix area, I think the danger zone is right by the canal, which is not too far away from us right here at the studio. But really find out where you're graded. If you're in an A, zone, that's the flood zone. That's where you're going to want to step up and very highly consider buying that flood policy. If you're in the B, C, or X zone, you're in what they call a moderate to light risk zone. And all the pricing is really government controlled through the program. So you're not dealing with, you know, which carrier should I go with and what's the pricing, like you are with homeowners sometimes. So it makes it really easy to price out online. So find your flood zone. They'll give you a price range right there. And it's less expensive than you think. They actually have programs for, even on the website, they mention $129 per year for those low-risk zones.
I think a lot of people could be surprised when they're shopping homes how big a footprint that flood map really has. My daughter bought at Hayden and Thomas.
There you go.
One of the Continental masonry homes from the 50s.
Yep.
That's a flood zone.
Yeah. Did she find out right before she bought it?
Yeah, she did.
Good. There was actually an article in the paper last week of a couple that was looking. They were looking at a home in North Scottsdale, and once they put into the flood zone, you know where they were at, it was almost a $10,000 a year premium. So that really changed their mind on making that choice. But knowing in advance, definitely good before you buy that home.
And they actually change the maps occasionally. The Corps of Engineering will come through and do something.
2013. So they just updated the maps 2013.
And a lot of that has to do with the big CAP project that
was
put in across the north part of the valley.
And they
had all the rediversion tactics and strategies put in place.
And you might have found your home moved into a flood zone through that remapping.
Yeah,
there was a number of folks that said, wait a second, when I bought this in 82, 91, 94, I wasn't in a flood zone, and now they are. So you got to take those extra steps.
Let's talk a little bit. Do we still have a couple minutes? We do, just barely. Let's talk a little bit about what's the first thing you do? You've got, we're not going to talk about floods. There were a lot of homes that were damaged.
Yep.
Through roof leaks. You've got a drip.
First thing I tell everybody, secure that claim site. Make sure you get that leak stopped. Get the tarp out. Move your goods out of the way. Move your personal property out of the way. Secure that site, especially if you have homeowner's insurance. That's actually their first requirement. You got to take steps to do that. Second thing I say is take lots of pictures. Get those cell phones out, that camera phone. Take pictures of what's going on. It's kind of like a crime scene. I know that sounds like a silly analogy, but you want to record exactly what's going on so that those contractors that come in, your insurance company adjuster, they can really help you out when they've got that evidence. And then I always say, you know, folks, reach out to a certified licensed Rosie on the House partner and get a contractor out there and get some bids and find out what that's going to cost you before you file the claim. That way you know exactly what it's going to cost. You can then decide, is it worth filing the claim or not against your deductible?
Now, when we come back, I want to talk about, okay, so I filed the claim. So the adjuster came out to the house.
Yeah.
I don't think this adjustment's going to come close to covering the damage. What do we do at that point? We'll cover that when we get back, folks, right here at Rosie on the House with Clay Jansen of Focus Insurance. If you're in need of insurance services, it's 602-955-7705. Focus Insurance Services.